begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Dave, this is you. Since I don't have my agenda, you want to go ahead and take over, please?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, will do. We'll move on to item four, which is roll call. Councilmember Taylor?
Here.
Councilmember Torres?
Here.
Councilmember Warren?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Van?
Here.
And Mayor Shaver, are you here?
Yes.
Thank you. We'll now move on to the special orders of the day, which is new business. And that would be my report, Mr. Mayor and Council. Good evening, Honorable Mayor and City Council members. We have before you this evening City Council consideration for appointment to fill 5 vacancies on Stanton Parks Recreation and Community Services Commission, 3 vacancies on the Stanton Planning Commission, and 3 vacancies on the Stanton Public Safety Committee. Per the City's Municipal Code, it requires the submission of applications and interviews prior to appointment. The City Council, by majority vote, may also waive the requirement to interview persons previously appointed by the City Council and who are requesting reappointment to another term. City Clerk's Office has received a total of 16 applications, and in addition to the eligible 16 applications, we also received 1 application that was submitted after the publicly noticed closing period and was disqualified, which that is reported in your staff report as well. This evening we have 13 applicants are present this evening for their interviews. The appointment process will go as follows. Each applicant will be called to the podium. The applicants were sent via email 3 questions to answer as part of the interview process. A copy of the applicant's responses have been provided to you via email and is also provided to you on the dais this evening. In addition to the emailed questions, the interview process will then be open to the City Council should each of you have any additional questions to ask our applicants. Once the interview has concluded, the applicant will be asked to have a seat while the next applicant is called to the podium for his or her interview. Once interviews have concluded for all applicants, I will then proceed to the nomination portion of the process. That concludes staff's report. Mr. Mayor, Council, I will now begin with the interview portion of the process for the Parks, Recreation, and Community Services Commission. At this time, I'd like to invite Mr. Greg Himes to the podium. Mr. Himes, thank you so much for your attendance this evening. We did receive your questionnaire. I will now open it to the committee or council members to ask any questions that they may have. Would we like to, how about I just go in order? Would that be okay with everyone? Councilmember Torres. Councilmember Taylor.
Where do you live in the city?
I live on Syracuse Avenue between Knott Avenue and
Ashley. Okay. Mrs. Ashley lives in that area also.
She's my neighbor down the street. So that would be the sort of Cypress side
sort
of it.
Cypress sort of Stanton.
Yeah.
We're really Stanton. How long have you lived in the city?
I came to Stanton the first time in 1975. Lived here for a couple of years. Took some time off to see the world while I was back and bought a house in 1985. I've been here ever since. Very little. Once in a while, we'll see somebody come down the street, but it's not a popular thoroughfare for the homeless. So we've had more parking issues than we've had homeless issues.
We're going to be looking at parking. Okay.
Hi.
Hello.
What's your vision, like your 5-year vision? What would you love to see done if money wasn't always such a pressing issue?
I spent some time on this. I was filling out my questionnaire. And to be honest, I don't have a futuristic view. I'm more of a STEM person rather than a neighborhood person. But the things that I identified on the questionnaire had to do with ongoing maintenance for all of our facilities, parks. I believe that we should put up a good front. So if the public is going to see something that represents the city, I'd like it to look good. That led to a couple of issues which you I also think it's very good if we can get more public and also private grant if strings that are attached are not too onerous. It's an opportunity to expand in ways to help. But I don't feel that I see enough of the community to say that I understand everything that's going on in the city. Not the folks down south, side by point. So that's just my honest way of saying that have a 5-year vision other than straight up.
That you've served on the Parks and Rec Commission since 2017, and what would you say is your biggest accomplishment on that commission, or what is your legacy?
Well, as far as accomplishments go, Parks and Rec and Community Services Commission is an advisory body, so it doesn't really have the ability to do anything, make some referrals, and it can make some light decisions regarding patterns that go on. Athletic, whatever issues might be discretionary mission. But as far as successes, all I can say is try to fight safety. My project is better lighting for the playground. There's lighting on the paths, builds, but when night comes, there by the train, ground equipment, you can't see the kit. I think that that's an unsafe condition. So I haven't had any success yet, but it is something that I've been fighting for. I think that's the predominant thing. The other items that are important, the council, iterating. But safety is that one.
Thank you so much. Mr. Schauer, do you have any questions for Mr. Himes this evening?
You got me with that one. I think I would have to give it some thought. There's no one thing that comes to mind immediately. So I think I'd have to give that careful consideration. I just don't have an answer off the top of my head for that.
Mr. Mayor, any further questions? Mr. Mayor, any further questions? Mr. Mayor, can you hear us? Any further questions? you have any further questions? Okay, we'd like to apologize to the council. The packet that we provided to you for three of the applicants has duplicative information. We're rectifying that right now, and we will get you additional updated applications. So if that's everything for Mr. Hines, thank you so much. And our next candidate, the applicant is correct in your packet, so I'd like to invite up candidate Hani Huang Phan.
Good evening. Hi, my name is Hani Phan. Okay. So, answer your question first.
Yes, thank you so much. My apologies. We had a malfunction with our PDF combining. Mr. Torres, do you have any questions for Ms. Phan?
Yeah, I do. In your questionnaire, you said that you recently worked with our community service director to apply for funding to remodel our tennis courts. Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
That's correct. That is, as you well know, that is one of the big issues with aware of everyone that is our tennis court that is has been adjusted and maintenance. Even that's the Central Park have remodeled since 2016, but the tennis court is just left there. So we have a lot of issues for the safety. So that's why that, and as a tennis player, I have spend a lot of time there, so I know that is what's wrong with it. So, and I also have the connection with the SDA, and she is the director of community tennis. It's been the program to support local tennis from the public school city, so they can provide a portion of funding for us. But the most important is that they provide the professional knowledge so that is that we can do it the correct way. So in that one, that's that I already direct the application. So and we are working on that. So hopefully that is on May. That is that when you working on a budget, we already working on the budget for 300,000, and hopefully at that time, that's that when you comply with the funding from the SBA, have a new tennis court for everyone.
Great. Do you mind explaining the condition of the tennis courts, please, and what you would like to do to fix it?
Say it again, please.
Can you please let us know the conditions of the tennis courts and okay. What you would do to fix them?
Right now, that is, they have a lot of grass line, and when raining, they cannot. The rain is very bad. The water stay there, retain water, and we have a problem about fencing. So dust and grass from the railroad can pull over, and we don't have the divider between courses. So let's say that's when we are playing, and the court, a ball from another court come over, that is that everyone have to stop and we start the game all over. So and to me, the most important that is the safety. That the surface is very bad now. And that is not safe for players, especially that is the children, and especially with the senior. So the club I'm a member with, we have almost 50 members, and most of them that is the senior. So that is not good for us. So what we, I really get as the goal for me as a become a get the tennis model surface up to the current standard of the USDA.
Thank you.
Yes, please.
the our group that is play almost every day, every morning. But myself, just about two or three times.
And you play how many times a week?
Myself is about four or five times.
Okay.
So I play from Cyprus to Regan Air Force. Very good.
Recording in progress.
And compare with another thing I want to mention, compare to all the city around us, Garden Grove, Anaheim, Cyprus, our courses are the worst.
Oh.
Yeah, because everyone got the funding and remodel, and our course is still there. No one talk about it.
So
that's also the reason that the member from my tennis club encouraged me
to become a commissioner so we can have the connection
with the direct user. And we really need help.
We really need your help.
I can believe you on that. Where in the city do you live? Where do you live in the city?
In Nancy, that's on Cerritos, between Western and Beach.
Gotcha. Okay. Very good. Have you visited of the other parks in our city?
Yes, I do.
Which one?
Magnolia. At the Orange Bush and Magnolia, that belongs to Garden Grove, and the one at the Cyprus, next to the Cyprus Library.
The tennis courts there.
Right.
Have you visited any of the other parks in the city of Stanton? I don't think we have any other tennis courts, do we?
No.
What is your vision for Parks and Rec? What do you see stretching out to 5 years? What would you like to see other than the tennis courts being removed?
Right. That is my vision for 5 years. That I wish that non-gross park that will come through.
So we
have more park
for everyone.
And another thing that is that we have
more few tracks, so can do the running.
That is
my vision for the 5 years.
I can see that you're very passionate about tennis and the conditions of the courts, and I'm glad that you're able to give us insight on what exactly needs to be done. It's important that we have commissioners that actually use our parks and understand what's needed. So I'm very pleased to hear that you go to the tennis courts multiple times a week. I know that you've been serving on the Parks and Rec Commission for a few years now. Can you talk about your experiences there and what you think has been a value to you being on the commissioner, being a commissioner for the Parks and Rec? So can you talk about your experience on the Parks and Rec Commission and the value you bring?
I think that so far, like before, that is as one using the park and one when the park have the problem, so we don't know where to go, who to talk to, and now that's when I go to the city of the city, that is I can see that how the system works. And one of very good experience for me that is that I can raise my concern
to the city,
and I can become a connection with that is the one using the park and the city.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, do you have any questions? Mr. Mayor, do you have any questions? Mr. Mayor, can you hear us?
Thank you for your patience, Ms. Van. Mr. Mayor has left the meeting. He will try to log in one more time. My apologies again. This is for planning. We are a little bit messed up when we did a merger.
No worries.
I love technology.
It happens.
I know. That's also a malfunction with one machine.
Perfect. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah. It's truly a test. So, Council, I don't see any attempts. Ms. Cedorn, how would you like to proceed? So at this time, to not prevent any further delays, we'll move on to the next candidate. Ms. Van, thank you so much. We appreciate your time and your patience with us during this technology. <Yeah. laughs> At this time, I'd like to invite Mr. Hong Tran to the podium. So Mr. Tran just arrived and has provided his questionnaire this evening. So it did not come in advance. So I'll provide that to you now. Thank you for printing those for us, sir.
Good evening, Mayor, and good evening, the Council.
Okay, so at this time, we'll have the Council review that for a minute, and then we'll start with Mr. Torres for any questions that he may have for you.
Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, welcome back. Can you hear me, sir? Mr. Mayor, if you can just do a quick hello for me to confirm your attendance. He's on the phone. Oh, on ours. We could do that as well.
Great. In one of your goals, you said that you wanted to have language accessibility. Can you please explain that a little more?
I realize that the city of Stanton is a diverse community. We do have a minority group. The reason why I bring it up because obviously we want our citizens to utilize the park, use the public service. And as you know, the facility we have, like Harry Dodson, is very kid-friendly. But if the parent, they may not fully understand the safety aspect of it. It may be they don't as actively bring their kid out and use it. Even if they bring it out, and they are not fully aware of the safety procedure or instruction regarding that particular playground, it may be a concern. So bringing awareness, make them feel comfortable, is something that we can get our residents to utilize our resource more, so that way we get more value out of whatever we invest in.
Another thing you mentioned is you wanted affordable programs for all residents. Can you explain that a little more, please?
We have limited budget. Every city have a limited budget. how we use it to get the most out of it. So engaging the community doesn't have to be hiring a very expensive band to come and perform on stage. But we can do very interactive activity that can be culturally related or family oriented that will bring the community out. Because through the COVID, there's a lot of isolation. And we need that connection. We build a community through connection and interaction, and to have an understanding between different community, different ethnic group, we need that social engagement. So family-oriented activity doesn't have to cost a lot. Art and craft bring out a lot of kids. But through that, kids don't have boundary on culture and language. When they come and they engage, and oh, that's my school friend. I didn't know you lived next door. Now you gotta be a friend, you hang out. And that grow, that bond, and make our community also safer because now they know each other. So if, let's say, a stranger coming in, they know right away, wait, how come he walk with that person? That person doesn't belong in this community. Those are the things that doesn't cost as much, but bring the community together.
I agree, thank you.
Thank you. It's actually walking distance because I live on Cerritos and Court Street, okay. Which is, we go down on like, and then we cross over, and right there is the park. So we've been using that before COVID. We've been using that park for my both of my kids' birthday celebration. It's small, it's safe, and it have a lot of kid friendly. And when we go there, it's just like a little community where all the kids from the neighborhood coming out. So it's very... I would say the city made a good investment in developing that, turn into a very kid-friendly. And that's what I would like to see throughout the city. Yes. Actually, my kids spend a lot of time with their grandpa over at the Stanton Central Park, especially in the summer when we have the movie night. They always want to go. So either me or my dad will make arrangement. We always take them there. And it's something like that. That's what I mean by affordability, right? It doesn't cost a lot. And we can also pay for those expense through having vendor or booth, or there are different options. But at the end of the day, we bring the community out. And they utilize the investment we put it in.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
I'm sticking with my vision and 5-year future goals for the Parks and Recreation Department. I thought your Donald was pretty good. I think your multiple languages for the parks is a good idea. But what else do you see for a 5-year vision on the park that you would like to see implemented?
My number one goal is minimize spending but maximize value. And for that, utilize our existing infrastructure, have more community engaged activity, continue to do what we're good at. Like for example, summer, the movie night at the park, continue to do that. And we have to also consider maybe Stanton Central Park is a great park. We put a lot of money into that. So it's a centralized, bring everyone together, but not everyone have the opportunity to go there. So sometimes we need to rotate and consider Hollenbeck. It's actually a great open space. There's opportunity there to grow that. So that side of the community is a walking distance for someone to enjoy a movie night there instead of have to drive across Beach Boulevard to the other side to Stanton Central Park. We grow our existing infrastructure best we can and get the community engaged more so a lot more people know and aware. We strategically have park in different small community. Let's bring awareness to them. We have senior citizens live in that complex right next to Hollenbeck. It's a walking distance. Make it, it doesn't have to be a central park, but make it where they come out. They don't have to run the treadmill, do the exercise. They can come out there with a book, enjoy the outdoor space, open energy environment, and see that. Those are the engagement component that I would like to see in park and services. It doesn't have to be invest $5 million on build a new playground, but get our people to come out, use the park, and from there we can strategically allocate our resource. Realize more senior citizens utilize that park, then we'll adapt to that need. Rather than just blanketly go out, invest money, and to build things and realize it's not being used. I'm not saying we done that, but that's my vision. Because we are a small city, we use our resource wisely. Get our citizen, our resident, maximize their value. Thank you.
So the two people who interviewed before you are existing Parks and Rec commissioners. You're completely new to us here. Can you tell us about yourself personally? What you do and you know what you're involved in and why you
want to
be a commissioner?
So I moved to City of Stanton in 2008. I start family in 2010. My kid born in Stanton, grew up in Stanton. So I have a vested interest in them growing up in the same community. But before that, since 2000, I've been an adult volunteer with the Scout movement, with the Boy Scout America, and the Vietnamese community, scouting community. And in 2008, I started also involved with the Girl Scout. I volunteer as a Girl Scout adult leader to help support the community also. So youth engagement have been part of my life. And I also actively engaged with the Union of Vietnamese Student Association, and they do have the Tet Festival every year. And I am part of the organizing committee of the Cultural Village since 2004. And every year, that becomes the heart of the Tet Festival. You remember before, they used to be having it at the, right next to Bonesaw Grande at the Garden Grove Park. And that's the main attraction, bring 50,000 to 100,000 attendees. So my experience dealing, working with people, especially the youth, that is the experience, that's something I can offer. Because the thing we invest in our community actually impacting the youth more. They have a longer duration of use. And if we make them feel like this, their home, they will stay here. They will settle here. They will buy a house here. But they spend money here. They reinvest into the community. So my experience working with different various youth organizations enable me to make that connection and continue to propagate the message. Is the youth, they can utilize our resource, but at the same time, they contribute to volunteerism. High school age is a prime age for volunteering. Park recreation, we have a lot of available opportunity out there, can engage them. For a park, if we want to plant 10 trees, it doesn't have to spend money. How about there are students in the scouting community, they do volunteer, they do service, contributing. We offer them opportunity, they come, they bring their volunteer, they fundraise, they spend that money, they put into our park, they plant that tree, they create that bench. That's the service they can bring. We offer them the opportunity. Now they feel like they own part of that park. They are part of community. We connect city, the resident, the service community.
So you're talking a lot about getting kids to give back and volunteer. Do you have any examples of you know, kids that you've worked with that have volunteered in Stanton and given back to Stanton?
In the past, I do have a few scouts who are actually in Stanton. One of the person was Christelle. She lived right behind Ornwood and Rosatita. So she was also part of the leadership development, and one of her projects was actually contributing to the park. So I was one of her advisor. So my wish is that we have more of those student scouting who are actually gonna be do more service project in Stanton rather than they're gonna go to Garden Grove or Moscow Park or Fountain Valley or go to their other network provide those services.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Mr. Tran, what's your favorite park in Stanton and why?
Earlier, I love Harry Dotson Park because that's where my kid went. But after we opened the Stanton Central Park, they went there a lot more. But my original impression was the Stanton Park right here. It was actually a great outdoor before we had the Stanton Central Park over there. I took my kid here for scooter and biking. So honestly, I don't have a favorite of a favorite, but Harry Dodson and Stanton Central Park are the two main attractions that I'm very impressed of, and I would like to see similar impression at other parks for the community.
And I know that you've been to most of our parks. What's the one thing that you would like to see brought into one of our four parks that you would feel would be most beneficial for the city?
So each park serve a unique community. Like earlier I mentioned Hollenbeck, it's a lot of open space. There's opportunity to grow it. And there is a senior complex right next to the park. So we have to look at, are they gonna be able to do things the same as Harry Dodson? They need a little bit different than the community right around Harry Dodson. So I wouldn't give a blanket suggestion, but the first approach would be to see what are the needs of the walking distance residents right around the park. Maybe a short survey or a simple engagement, community engagement activity to see who coming out. And from that, we strategize and development, but obviously Hollenbeck, we can hopefully have more of shade environment so that they can come out more. Because I remember with the drought, the grass were completely brown, right? And then that literally being abandoned, it's something that we can find opportunity to make it better so that the resident right on either side of the park and even across the street, just that simple road right there, we don't have a crosswalk. And if the people on the other side, along the Pacific, if they want to utilize Hollenbeck, they have to either cross down to Dale, swing back. I'm not gonna walk that distance to use that park. Or if you're gonna go all the way down to Magnolia and swing around, but if we have a control light to just allow pedestrians to walk across, make it safe, then more people can utilize. That's just one example. I hope I answered your question.
Thank you, Mr. Tran.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Tran. We appreciate your time. Just have a seat.
Thank
you. At this time, I'd like to invite Ms. Lorraine Berlin, who I do not see in the audience this evening, but she did submit an application on her questionnaire. So if it's okay with council, I'll move on to the next applicant. At this time, I'd like to invite Mr. Oatmeal Pavia to the podium, please. And Mr. Mayor, we'll begin with Councilmember Torres for any questions.
Yeah, what are some issues that you'd like to address if you get appointed to the Parks and Recs Committee?
Just want to increase participation and overall civic engagement. I think Parks and Rec, especially parks, are one of the first things that families come to interact with in the city. So I think it's great that we have a bunch of signs and flyers and stuff to be directing people, but I think we can do a bigger effort by having like liaisons at the parks. That way they have are able to create relationships with the people directly, and the people are able to understand what the actual city does. That way they're more comfortable coming into city council, participating, and contributing to it.
Thank you, and do you mind telling us a little bit more about yourself so council could
Course. I'm a member of District 3 in Mr. Taylor's district. Recently moved here, going for 4 years. I moved from next door, Garden Grove. I grew up there pretty much my whole life, but we moved over here with my family. We bought a townhome over in Bradford Place, and we've been living there ever since, you know, and I think it's been a great experience living here, just seeing how much opportunity there is for development and just for people. There's a lot of opportunities that we can really help flourish here in the city, and you know, I want to help in my skills and whatever I can to make this city successful.
Thank you.
It would be the Stanton Central Park, right? Yeah, and personally, it's one of my favorites. I know that question's gonna come up a little bit later, but I have a personal bias towards it. I grew up skateboarding, so, you know, they have the skate park right there, so whenever I have time, I ride my board over there, and you know, or sometimes even kick the soccer ball over there. You know, there's plenty of open space over there. There is some issues, you know, I know with the lighting and stuff, but you know, I think through participation, we can get people out here to really help, you know, show you folks how much these parks are used, and you know, get stuff going on there. Yeah, definitely. As I said, on top of participation, would like to see a lot more opportunities offered for younger people. For example, I think we could use our parks for a couple of events that do food trucks. You know, I think those things are bring a lot of people out. And as a previous candidate for the position mentioned, it's a good spot. It's a good opportunity to help build, bring people together and social. As I just mentioned, I think civic engagement depends a lot on people building relationships, having conversations, and you know, just continuous communication. That's what, you know, builds stronger bonds between one each other. And I think I would want to see us see these to this room packed. You know, see more participants participate in the Citizens Academy, City Council, increase the numbers in our rosters for the Parks and Recreation programs that we already have. You know, I think they're great. The movie nights, the teen nights out, they're super cool, but I think we can definitely increase participation.
I noticed that you had participated in Citizens Academy.
Yes.
Can you give me any feedback on what you thought it was like and how you, what you learned from it and values?
It went by way too quick. I honestly am a big nerd for like policy, government, so I truly loved it. I only missed one session just because of I think I was sick or had work. But other than that, I got great opportunity to be able to learn directly from the people that manage the departments. I got to meet them face to face. Some of them still recognize me, so that's pretty cool, you know. So other than that, you know, I think it's another great thing about those programs. They help you bring you closer to the people that serve you, you know. So I think it's I truly enjoyed it, and I would recommend it to anyone else. Like I have been doing.
I noticed one of the things you emphasized in your questionnaire was outreach and engagement, especially with hard-to-reach communities and increasing resident participation. Can you elaborate on how we can do that better and what you would suggest?
Yeah, definitely. I included on my application that we can definitely offer more things in different languages. I know that's one of the things that a previous candidate brought up. I think it's crucial that we notice, you know, we pick up on these demographic shifts that our county is experiencing. Not gonna stop, you know. I think we clearly see that, you know, with the new leaders coming up on the dais, not just here, but across different cities. So I think it's very important that we pay attention to that, and other people outside the city pay attention to that too. You know? So I think if we want to attract other people to come live in Scranton, I think we need to show them that, you know, love diversity here.
And how do we do that?
By, again, you know, offering perhaps, I mentioned the Citizens Academy, maybe offering it in other language, Spanish, Vietnamese, even a youth program. I know right here, probably there's a lot of folks that were interested that might not have been a little bit, I guess, discouraged from applying because they thought it was a bit of a thing for older people, you know, but I think younger demographic for folks do feel left out, and I think if we can offer it to them, it would also foster new leadership.
And what's the best medium to reach these hard to reach populations? Besides the language aspect, how do we actually get them to, you know, they're probably not gonna open our Facebook page and, you know, or we'll go to our city website, or they might not be checking the city manager's newsletter or be subscribed to it. So how do we get that message out?
Yeah, simply, I think from my experience in my job training, I've worked on a lot of different programs that have involved going out door to door and talking to people face to face at their doorstep. And I think if, you know, people here on the dais were to do that, or people from other departments, it gives you folks a lot more legitimacy to say like, oh, I'm here from the city, you know, I want to get to know you, let me know what you think about the survey we put up about Parks and Rec, about the master plan. That way we could have seen a lot more responses to that survey, and could actually get a better idea of what the whole city wants. proud of those parks.
Thank you so much.
One of the goals that you brought forward was to get increased resident participation in recreational events in our programs. We always try to do that, of course. What are some of your ideas of how we would attain that goal?
I think the city already does a pretty good job doing online, doing the newsletters through email. I think if maybe we can also do like text messages in Spanish and different languages, I think that would help out. I know a lot of folks that don't speak English primarily do text a lot. They use other web media apps like WhatsApp and some other things as well. A lot of this stuff is very, trial and error, you know? So I think there's a lot of lessons learned throughout, you know, our outreach programs that we try to do. But I think if we just go back to the data and see what has worked out and just amplify that, I think we can optimize our outreach with the resources we already have.
Okay, I'm going to eliminate Stanton Central Park because you skateboard. What's your second favorite park and why?
I would say the one over here, just because it's nice. It's very clear. You get to see the sunset at the end, you know, and when the skies are clear. So, and it's just nice. I really like it. It's really open, clear. I like taking brisk walks. I'm a very walking person. I like to stay active. So you can either find me there taking a couple walks or for sure skateboarding at the other park.
Anyway, thank you.
Ron, thank you for your time.
Thank you. We appreciate you this evening. At this time, I'd like to invite Mr. Rex De La Rosa to the podium, please. How much for your attendance this evening?
I think.
Yes, you can move it comfortably to you, and as long as you speak directly into the mic, it'll pick up your sound. So if you just lift it a little bit more.
Okay.
And we'll start with Councilmember Torres.
Yeah, can you please explain to me some of the issues that you see in our parks?
First, I'm Rex De La Rosa. I attended Citizens Academy. Learned I was more community-oriented than I thought I was. Issues. Well, I guess for me, I don't really go out as much, but I guess for me, it seemed like educating more people about the availability of the parks around us and promoting it more so that more people actually go. My sort of view on it is the parks is sort of like the living room of a city, and sort of if it's more active, the city's more lived, and another good direct result of that is the city feels more safe if there's more people out there because there's more eyes on the street.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah, you do. Maybe from...
Right behind us, there are these two-story homes in the gated community.
Yeah, Serena Way.
So have you visited many of our parks?
Probably the Central Park and the... Is that a park? That's considered a park?
Stanton Park.
Yeah, that park. Stanton Park.
What have you done at Central Park?
Central Park, I guess... I've done a couple of walks in the weekend. Take my bike there, go around in there. I haven't had a chance yet to check out the movie night. I really want to check it out. And cool. And then for the Stanton Park there, when we first moved in, I think I moved in around 2000. I guess I still work, jogged there a bit. But I've been more into bicycling around lately.
So what would your vision be for our parks for the next 5 years? What would you like to see happen?
I guess I would like to see more attention brought towards the parks, awareness through sort of education, promotion maybe through like YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, flyers, really to get people aware that, oh, hey, we do have parks that we use stuff.
about your background, since a lot of us may not be familiar with who you are, and then why you want to be a Parks and Rec commissioner?
I'm just a, I guess, graphic artist. I just, my background is mostly desktop publishing, and yeah, that's about it. And
Why would you like to be a Parks and Rec commissioner?
I guess because I live here and I sort of invest. I guess I have a sort of vested interest to find when I go out and have all the parks more accessible, find more reasons to go out myself, meet people out there. I like it to be, I like the information to be more accessible.
Thank you. We all have different traits or experiences or abilities. What abilities are things that you can benefit by being on the recreation or community service? In other words, tell me what you're bringing to the committee. How would you help it out?
I would have enthusiasm. I guess I would like just graphic background, like flyers and stuff, out and organizing information visually, all things like that. But mostly, I think it's interest in getting myself involved in the community. That drive. Try new things.
Thank you. And then which one of our parks is your favorite and why?
The one I'm most familiar with is that one, but I think I'm starting to lean towards the central one. I know that's the newest one. But I always find myself trying to check it out when I'm going out. But I think I'd lean on the central part.
Anyway, thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Appreciate your time this evening. Councilor Mayor, at this time, during this portion of the interview, I would like Councilmember Warren will now excuse herself from the dais and the council chambers, citing a conflict of interest. Ms. Warren. And then when we're ready, I'll come and call you back. Thank you so much. At this time, I'd like to call Mr. John Warren to the podium, please.
Council.
Thank you and welcome, Mr. Torres.
Hi, can you please introduce yourself for this evening?
My name is John Warren. Thank you. In an informal capacity. I've been involved with Stan in a volunteer back to my Eagle Scout project. That's what really got me involved in the city. I've always just been joined the car show committee. But which simply at the time was me being a fan of cars, finding a way how I can get involved. Somehow managed to get 60 Southern California show up here, followed by the having history for passion, or that passion for history. Stan got here led to my involvement in creating a mural. Following that,
what are some issues you see in our parks?
Mr. Ryan, if I can ask you just to get the mic a little bit closer to your...
Yeah.
Thank you. You'll hear it pop on. When
There you go.
There you go. Excuse me. Thank you.
I think for the most part, a lot of the parks are in good shape, or they're being worked on. Premier Park, some issues that have been long-standing for a while now that are actively being worked on, including new playground equipment. But for me, a major priority for what we could do with Hollenbeck, that park, it Edison easements, it's already tough to put anything there without saying yay or nay. For instance, past have explored the possibility of putting dog parks there. But power company does not like the idea of humans being trapped in a cage beneath power lines as a potential outcome. But that's the park for me that's going to be a big priority, whether it be safety concerns, that the bear patch in the middle, which can, it's always kind of just been dead. I would like to see something happen there. Otherwise, I love walking that park.
Can you please explain to me a little bit more about your involvement with the Stanton Car Show?
With the Stanton Car Show, it was, again, starting back in 2011. I had been intending Car Show for several years up to the point that I actually got involved. It may have been Brian Donahue, actually, former council member. He's the one that was really trying to get me to help out at the time. Yeah, so I was involved with several clubs, and I was also working with a friend in a shop at St. Anna at the time. And so not only did I come in and volunteer, but I was also a vendor at the car show for several years. Yeah, one spot that I've always loved the idea of being able to use would be the Kawasaki lot, which currently occupies a small shop, small bike repair shop, but the other two-thirds of the property, it's a gravel pit, which gets used for parking on occasion, but otherwise it doesn't serve a great use. You draw a one-mile perimeter from the, let's say, beach in Orangewood, Edison, there's not a single park in that area. Same can be said going down to the bottom of the city. But extending outside the borders of the city from that area, there's no parks in the park. You can't walk across the freeway to access parks in Westminster. So at that area, I would love to be able to, that's one spot right there in particular. And being able to develop that lot, maybe also double in the effect of to provide some security, because that property as it is, it's used in odd ways at night sometimes, I want to say. But that lot in particular.
I know that you've served on the Parks and Rec Commission for quite some time. What do you think is your greatest contribution to that commission, and what value do you bring?
I think you asked me something similar. At the time, I had said that I was positioned the Love Over Cities program and the mural program. And I'll still attest to that. And I'm happy that item has now been budgeted, which should be going before council. But that element of incorporating a program that did start from the commission, I mean, those shows were capable of doing it, where we can get that community involvement. My volunteerism Stanton started with being a youth scout. And who knows what kind of opportunities that could bring for other people. Take classes at right now and just the other day I was talking with a student who lives in the city of Fullerton. It's her similar volunteerism in the city of Fullerton that actually makes her today a city employee for Fullerton. And so that's what I really hope we can do, that idea of giving back. But on top of that, there's been an incredible amount of work by the department last several years. Good. Stretching beyond the means of the department imagined, incredible. That's one thing I have to say that I'm partly department. Mission side, we didn't have too much to do with that, but I do want to say that's there.
I do have to commend you. I believe you're the youngest member on the Parks and Rec Commission, and you've been involved with the city like throughout your youth. I'm very impressed that we're able to engage someone at such a young age.
I think the debate with Greg about who was appointed first on commission, because I could be the youngest and most senior member.
So. John, you've been on the commission for 4 years, and you have never missed a meeting, so I wanted to commend you on that. You made all 29 of them. Also, being the chairman of the commission, give me two or three things that you accomplished while being chairman that you're most proud of.
What I'm most proud of is being able to give everybody a voice on the commission. It's just like speaking up right here, right now. This takes some getting used to. Sitting up there where you're at, it takes some getting used to. There's be tough to do, and I tried my best to try to work new members in, existing members in, to being express themselves and what they would like to be able to see. Other than that, one of the first things I tried doing is looking into what ways we capable of being able to initiate items on the commission. And I always say in every leadership role, things you need to figure out how to do is find out your limitation or try to figure out everything you can take control of. And so giving everybody an opportunity to speak and finding the boundaries of what our commission allows us to do, that was two important things for me.
One of the things that I think would improve all our commissions is communication between the city council and our staff and the different commissions that we have, whether it be the planning commission, Parks and Rec, public safety, or some of the other volunteers. I think that's one of the things that we have not done very well over the years. You being chairman, how would you try to develop a program or some program where we could maybe have you come in, meet, talk over what you've accomplished, listen to what your needs are, or some kind of a report? I think that's very important. And then also, we as a council, what do you think we can do with the commission to make it better?
On the first part, I actually had these discussions with Xenia about when the Parks Master Plan comes up, that'd be a wonderful opportunity be able to bring the commission in to where we can have that one-on-one conversation with council through a joint session. Prior to COVID, the idea of having joint sessions with council was something that was actually seemingly maybe an annual kind of affair. So if that happens, that's awesome. Learning how to be able to communicate with council, another thing that helps to learn along the road of being a commissioner. In terms of what can council do for the commission, our position is to be able to provide you advice. The best thing you could do for us is to let us know what we can do for you.
I think it's good if we, what I would like to see is information reports from your meetings. Not so much detailed, but things are I never get any requests from the committee on things that we can do to help your committee or to help the city. And I think we're lacking in that area. I think it's the responsibilities of these committees, even though they're advisory, to reach out to us and let us know what we need to do to make the city better. I mean, you're a select group of individuals that we have appointed with a role to oversee certain aspects of our community. If we don't get recommendations from you in writing, or we don't get reports from you telling us what we need to do a better job, then I think we're missing the point. And so in the future, and I'll speak to whomever ends up on these commissions, don't be afraid to, you know, send us information, to let us know your feelings, to let us know what we can do to make our community better. Some people have done that, but I think we need to do more of that so that we have insight and a better understanding. And you are the people that we selected to give it that message. Thank you, John.
Mr. Mayor and Council, and I, Mr. Warren, I know this is your time. I just have to interject because I don't want any of the Parks and Recreation Commission members here to feel bad. We do have a process. Ms. Bobadilla has been directing the Parks and Recreation Commission to provide input that's going to come to the council as part of the May budget workshop. They have actually reviewed and prepared a list with fiscal estimates, and I will be presenting that to the council in conjunction with all the other priorities that are up for your consideration, so you can understand everything that's before you, the fiscal impact, what you would have to give up to approve these. So I just didn't want the commission to feel that they hadn't been doing that, because they have been, and we've been channeling their efforts into a very strategic way to present to the council all at once instead of piecemeal.
Okay, well, I'm not
Sir Warren.
Yeah, I'm not talking about those types of reports. Okay. Yeah, those reports we always put on the shelf.
Oh my gosh,
the reports that I'm talking about are personal things. You know, if you go in the park and you see that the poles need to have painting, I know that you tell Zinni, and Zinni will let us know. But there are some things that are out there that you hear from the community that we probably don't hear. And I think it's important for us to have that extra voice. You know, we have probably one of the best community recreation development programs in Orange County, as far as I'm concerned. The programs that we have are second to none for what we do. We don't have a big staff, we don't have a big budget, but we put on some pretty good size extravaganzas. I'm just saying that it's more of keep your ear to the wall and don't be afraid to come and let us know what's going on. And I think it's called, you know, transparency and open communication. That's all I'm asking for. Sometimes people will call me about something wrong with the park. I'm sure that you're aware of it because we've talked about many things over the years. But I just want to say to any of the commissioners that we always have an open door and an open ear with our five board members here. Thank you, John.
Thank you very much. Mr. Mayor, members of the City Council, that concludes the interview portion of the appointment process. We are, again, as a reminder, filling five vacancies this evening. And I will now proceed with the nomination portion of the process.
Oh, can I ask a question before we do the nominations? I noticed that one of the applicants applied for two different commissions.
Correct.
Can you elaborate how that works? If they get selected, do they get interviewed for the second one, or are completely out? Or
they are out. We only allow our commissioners to serve, our committee members to serve on one board at a time. So if they are appointed to the parks and they accept that appointment, they will no longer be eligible for the next commission.
Would it be possible for us to ask that individual which one they prefer before we make the appointment?
Absolutely.
Give them that opportunity?
So at this time, However, Mr. Tran, if you are selected to be a commissioner for the parks, that would exclude you from the planning commission. So what is your preference this evening?
Thank you.
if he gets selected for Parks and Rec, then he won't be interviewing for the planning.
Correct.
And we wouldn't be able to choose him, right?
Correct. So unless if you are selected and you decline that post and we appoint someone else to fill that seat, you will lose your opportunity to be a Parks and Recreation Commission. Even if you are not selected to serve on planning, then that is that risk that you unfortunately do have to take when applying for both. So. Questions regarding that process?
So could you tell how many openings we have and who's picking? I think the public would like to know that.
So currently we have 5 vacancies on the Parks Commission. We have seat number 1, which will be filled by Councilmember Taylor, seat number 2 by Mayor Shaver, seat number 3 by Councilmember Torres, and then for the Parks Commission, there's a little bit of a difference, is that we have 2 seats, 6 and 7, which is a mayor's appointment for the position of mayor. So Mr. Shaver will be filling those 2 seats as well. So at this time, I would like to begin with seat number 1, Councilmember Taylor. How would you like to proceed with your motion, sir?
Is this who I choose?
Yes, sir. This will be your motion.
I'm going to choose Mr. Warren.
And do we have a second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, Mr. Shaver? Well, now, congratulations to John Warren. You have filled seat number 1 with Taylor. So at this time, since we have that portion filled, I'd like to invite back Council Member Warren to the dais in the council chambers. So give me one moment while I go get her for us. Thank you, and welcome back, Ms. Warren. At this time, we proceed with seat number 2, Mayor Shaver. Your motion for appointment?
Mr. Himes.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Congratulations, Mr. Greg Himes, for filling seat number 2 for Mayor Shaver. Welcome back. At this time, we'll proceed with seat number 3, Councilmember Torres. Your motion?
Mr. Pavia.
We have a second for Mr. Pavia.
Second.
Congratulations, Mr. Pavia. You are filling seat number 3 for Councilmember Torres. Welcome aboard. You'll be hearing from our director in a few days' time. And now we'll proceed with seat number 6, Mayor Shaver. Your appointment, sir. Excuse me. All in favor for Mr. Pavia?
Yes.
Any opposed? Hearing none. And I'll also do it for Mr. Himes. All in favor for Mr. Himes?
Yes.
Any opposed? Mr. Shaver, any opposed for Mr. Himes? All in favor?
I'm okay.
Thank you. Mr. Shaver, your motion for seat number 6 for the mayor's appointment.
Yes, Ms. Phan, please.
Ms. Phan. Excuse me, I heard Ms. Dan. Do we have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, congratulations, Ms. Phan. Welcome back. There you are. Mr. Mayor, seat number 7. Since she is applying for reappointment. I have Ms. Tran, Ms. Rosa, Ms. Hong.
So we have who left?
We have Mr. Hong Tran.
Right.
Ms. Lauren Berlin, who you have to excuse her.
or waive the interview portion.
You know, Lorraine's been on for, I think, about 5 years, and she's only missed, I think, 2 meetings. Was there a reason why she couldn't be here tonight?
Not that I know of. She had confirmed with me a few things.
That she was going to be here?
Yes, sir. However, since she is applying for her appointment, council does have the authority to waive the interview portion of the process for her, which would make her eligible.
Well, you know, go ahead. I was just going to say, I strongly feel that it would be a really good thing for us to keep Berlin on our committee because of her involvement in our community. She, not only does she cover our city very well as a freelance reporter, but I think she's been to every event that we've ever had since the inception of these commissions. So I'm going to go ahead and ask that we consider Lorraine Berlin as my number 7 appointment. So what do we need to do?
I can proceed with the roll call vote to waive the requirement. Process for Ms. Berlin. Mr. Torres?
Yes.
Mr. Diaz?
Yes.
Ms. Warren?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Bam?
Yes.
Mayor Schauber?
Yes.
Okay, so that will make her eligible. If that's your motion to appoint Ms. Berlin?
That would be my 7th choice, yes.
Do we have a second? I will perform a roll call vote, just to be sure. So we have a motion by Mayor Schauber, a second by Councilmember Taylor. I'll now proceed with the roll call vote. Councilmember Torres?
Yes.
Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Warren?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Ban?
Yes.
And Mayor Schauber?
Yes. And who are, could you give us, I think I know who they are, but just double check, who are number 4 and number 5 right now?
Number
that we have
on. Yes.
I think it's good that the, everybody need to know who they are.
It's Desi.
Desi
and
Ledesma, and then Ms. Ngung Bak Am, who chose not to reapply. I'm sorry, and Mr. Dwayne Norman.
Okay, so
Mr. I was looking right. Thank you, Ms. Bobo.
Okay, so Mr. Norman is still on, and?
And so is Desi Ledesma.
Ledesma, okay.
And that would make your 7.
Okay, thank you. Any other comments?
So at this time, we do have filled and completed the commission vacancies for Parks and Recreation. I do appreciate those who have come to apply and who submitted and their time and their efforts this evening. We do really appreciate your time and efforts. Again, we will have openings throughout the year if we have unscheduled vacancies, as well as when we have elections. Every cycle, your term matches a council member. So we will have 2 more openings open in 2024. So keep an eye out, and I have you on my list. And if there are unscheduled vacancies, I will be emailing you notices for those positions as well.
On behalf of myself and the council, I would also echo that. We really appreciate your interest in the city. We know that many of you have been to our classes. Many of you have been volunteered to work in our park programs, and I know a lot of you are very familiar. It's too bad we don't have more commissions, because we'd like to have all of you doing something. But in the meantime, please keep your volunteerism. It's very important. That's why the city is the success that it is, because of people like you that take the time to come here and to volunteer. Also, thank you for stepping forward and applying. You know, that means something to me, that you do have an interest in our community and serving. So don't give up. Keep on volunteering. We'll find something for you to do. Trust me. And we appreciate you and your efforts. Thank you. And congratulations to all of you that were selected tonight. I think we have a great team. And I think the 7 of you, we'll call you the Magnificent 7. You know, Zinni is going to do a good job with you. And we'll keep on that program going. I think we have one of the best programs for its size anywhere. And under her leadership, you're going to be in good hands. So thank you tonight.
Any other comments?
I just want to quickly say, for those who applied and didn't get accepted, I don't want you to be discouraged.
I was in your shoes not too long ago. I actually had applied 3 times before I was appointed into a commission seat. So don't give up. If you still care and you still want to serve, please continue to stay engaged and apply again. And, you know, if I had given up after my first time, I wouldn't be able to serve in the capacity that I'm serving now. So thank you so much for taking the time to apply. Thank you for caring about our city. And I hope you continue to stay engaged.
Thank you very much. Mr. Mayor, Councilmember, I will now begin with the interview portion of the process for the Planning Commission. At this time, I'd like to invite Ms. Elizabeth Ash to the podium, please. It's that E and the A in that alphabet that puts you first for us this evening. Welcome, Ms. Ash.
Thank you. Good evening.
I will now begin with Councilmember Torres. Questions for Ms. Ash?
I guess I'll just reiterate question two. What do you see are the challenges and opportunities in the city's future in the next year, as well as the next 5 to 10 years related to the Planning Commission?
The challenges, I feel, let me start with more of our accomplishments. I think the South Gateway to our city was one of our biggest accomplishments so far. For the future, it's nice that you asked me, but the Planning Commission really doesn't have any say what comes before us. That's before the city and the developers. But if you're giving me that opportunity, I would say that I would like to see us finishing our Beach Boulevard and having our North Gateway to the city.
Thank you.
Mr. Taylor, how are you?
I'm great. Mrs. Ash and I served on the Planning Commission. I was appointed in 2012. I really don't have any questions, but I just appreciate the job you've done on the Planning Commission.
Thank you. Well, thank you very much.
What are your thoughts about the Planning Commission? What do you think we could do to make it better, more interactive with the council?
Well, Mr. Chauver took my answer, so I'll refer to him. But I know that some cities have their planning commissioners or a representative for the Planning Commission to come before the city council maybe once a month and do report back to the council to let them know what we've engaged in or problems that we're having. It's open, like you said, open communication. So other than wanting us worrying about parking, that's our number one problem with the Planning Commission is having to deal with the parking that is not available with the developments that come before us. Yes, yes, not just our city, but yes.
So I remembered when I first joined the Planning Commission, I was so new, so nervous. I didn't know anything, and I remembered how kind you were helping me onto the Planning Commission. You were literally like a mama bear, just saying, you know, everything's going to be great, you're going to do great. And I really loved how great of a mentor you are. And I know that you've served on the Planning Commission for many years. And
I have.
In various different capacities. So thank you so much for your many, many years of service. And I'm so glad that you're applying again this year because I feel like we're having this new members possibly joining and we really need someone like you as an anchor to help guide the new folks and mentor them and really help elevate our planning mission and make sure it's successful.
Well, thank you for the kind words, but really it is my way of giving back. Been in the city almost 55 years now, and after retirement, I needed to have a way to give back to the city. So, thank you.
I don't have any questions.
Oh. Yes, sir?
Well, between you and me, we got 100 years here.
I started very young.
I was 12.
Oh.
I'm excited about the future of our planning commission. We have been in disarray, unfortunately, because our community development department has so much of a turnover within the last many years, last 8 years, 9 years.
Yeah.
And there's no continuity. And so I think with Lana DeVazzo, Crystal, hold your hand up. That is our new leader, and we are so happy to have her. She is going to work diligently with the council, but also with you guys. I think that you guys, you as a commission, need to be better informed, have more say in what's going on, and have a complete understanding so that we are on the same page. And I'm just going to say it. The checkerboard patterns on the building on Beach Boulevard is the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen in my life. And the fact that we have people living 2 feet from Beach Boulevard's curb is even worse than that. Now, I'm not saying that's anyone's fault. I'm just saying that we need definitely to get going in that department. And I am so excited about the new renaissance that we're going to have. We have so many projects going on right now. And if you think we have a lot now, where do you see what's going to happen over the next 3 years?
We're ready to tackle them.
This town is going to be pretty awesome. Not that we are not proud of the many things with VRB and Brandywine and 39 and all kinds of things. So it's going to be very exciting. And so I'm looking forward to you to continue to work. I'm not going to ask you a lot of questions because I already know how you feel, because your heart is in the city. And you've always felt that way. And you've always done an outstanding job. So thank you for reapplying. I appreciate that too, Elizabeth. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Ms. Asher. Appreciate your time this evening. At this time, I'd like to invite Mr. Hong Tran to the podium again, please.
Good evening, council member, and evening, everyone else.
Welcome back, council member Torres. He would be the same questionnaire. Write two separate questionnaires?
No, it's actually... No, I actually a separate set. I gave you two sets for planning commission.
Great. Under question two, where you listed some of the challenges and opportunities, you listed limited land developing vertically, so building up and not out. Can you please explain to me that a little more?
So if we look at our geographic limitation, that's something we can't grow. But there's always saying sky's the limit. With current technology and science and seismic reinforcement, we will be able to build up and reduce the risk of earthquake, which is we are in earthquake zone. My background is in civil engineer, and I've been working with Caltrans as a bridge engineer repairing. So number one challenge we having is to make sure when there's an earthquake, the bridge don't collapse. So with that challenge, I can see the same thing with the city when we work with developer. How are we going to sustain the building? But with current technology, that is going to actually reduce a lot. And with the limit of space, our ability to grow our city, that's the only way to solve, because we can't expand. We got limit. But growing it at a pace and under the condition where it provides the safety aspect for the resident, but give us that opportunity to grow the city so that we can sustain what we have and continue to attract talent, attract business, bring people to us. They don't necessarily live in our city, but if they shop in our city, they spend money in our city, they provide service in our city, that bringing in revenue, continue for us to grow.
Based on your skill set, what strengths would you bring to the Planning Commission?
I have an engineering mind, so everything is kind of analytical, and I'm sorry, that is not the only thing that the commission needs, but that's my number one strength, is ability to analyze and see a problem and consider alternative solution on what can we do to compromise based on the limited resource we have and come up with an alternative solution. It may be not the best, but then an option out there for us to explore, to learn more. And from that, we come to a compromise, because extreme approach doesn't solve a problem. So my willingness to work, to facilitate, to offer alternative solution, that would help.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. I am a person that I love history and language, so my involvement in the multi-language program is important, and I am also on the board for the Vietnamese Heritage Museum, which is preserving the heritage of the Vietnamese refugee. So to me, heritage is the root of the people. So I may settle in the city less than 20 years, but a lot of our residents have been here a long time. So that attachment, we cannot negate that. So it's always a respectful approach to ask them to consider what is it that ultimately the more important part you want to preserve. We may have historical structure that look very normal to other people because they have fancy castle and all of that, but to see the Stanton is important. Our children, when they say refer to Stanton, they don't just look at Beach Boulevard. So for that, we need to consider what is it for those long-term residents, what's important to them. Because without them, I didn't have an opportunity to reside here. So that's the respect we need to show, and they still continue to be an anchor in our community. So consider their priority. I mean, we cannot take care of all of their needs, but what are their priority, and can we compromise, come up with a solution where we can still preserve the most important priority to them, but continue to develop and grow our city. Thank you, sir.
One of the issues that builders and cities are having now is everybody wants us to be sustainable. And it would be a godsend if we had all LEED qualified buildings. And the issue that everybody faces is it's like LED lighting. The initial installation is expensive, even though you're cutting your energy bill by 50% after that. But that upfront cost is prohibitive in a lot of situations. How would you, as a planning commissioner, talk to the builders that are trying to cram every inch of occupancy on every piece of land they have and save every dime they can to maximize their profit, but to keep looking at them for, gee, can we have permeable paving? Can we have, you know, bamboo floors that'll help the planet? You know, what's your viewpoint on that?
That, we have to bring in creative thinking. We have to consider outside the box. There are certain aspects and there are certain approach. Scientifically, there's no limit on science, and technology and evolution continue to grow. But at the same time, bidding process is one of the many approach. So alternatively, if a developer come to us with a proposal, we need to evaluate what is it they can offer to the city, because we are represent the benefit of the city. They have to represent their company, and profit is one of the things that keep them going. So we cannot say, hey, no profit for you. But where is the compromise? So to me, a compromise solution is always the best solution, because we need to carry it long term. So it's give and take. What can we give them to give them that working profit that's acceptable to their board, to the investor, but at the same time provide enough of a services or benefit to our city to compensate for that compromise we offer them? And it does. The first option may not always be the best one. We just need to look and see, and there are what else can be offered. And like, for example, LED light 10 years ago, it was very expensive. But now it's get to a point, it's very affordable. So first adopter may not be the best adopter, because you're going to spend a lot of money, because the upfront R&D investment they need to recoup. So may not be it's the best approach for us to pilot a new technology. We observe and see A, B, and see how did they integrate those technology and what did they get back. And from that lesson learned, we are one step behind, but financially we'll be a step ahead, because we learn from them without investing our initial seed money in it. So I always would ask a developer, so what are the three possible solutions you can give me? And I may not pick the best solution if it's financially risky.
Thank you.
You, ma'am.
Are you aware of any present or future conflicts of interest that you might have, once you become a member of the Planning Commission? Like, do you have any sort of business or vested interest in any development or anything like that we should be aware of?
I don't operate any development company, and I don't associate with any group or organization regarding development. My background is in engineering, but my heart and soul is in cultural preservation and heritage. So I don't believe there is any conflict of interest on that.
And do you see any instances where you may have to recuse yourself or voting on any issues or any development in our city?
I don't believe so, because I don't invest. Currently, I don't own any lot of land that need or want to be developed in the city of Stanton. So that's obviously going to remove that. And like I say, I don't have a vested interest, financial interest, or even friendship relationship with any developer currently, or I don't that's engaged in any business at the city.
Thank you. No further questions.
Thank you, ma'am.
The state of California now allows for things called ADUs, which are dwelling units that can be added to homes. Do you support ADUs in residential neighborhoods? If you do, why? And if you don't support ADUs in residential neighborhoods, why?
That is probably the toughest question for tonight. Honestly, to me, at the end of the day, we have to look at what is it that we can offer to the city as a commissioner to solve a problem that every city is facing, is the need for housing. So ADU is one of the many opportunities we can explore, but it may not fit for every single local community within that block. Maybe it's fit for that block, but you go down the street, it may not. So we cannot, and my preference is never to do a blanket decision on the city itself. So to answer your question, you may not happy with the way I'm answering, but it's going to be depend on the geographic location and the need of those residential, the resident within that geographic location. What is it that they want? Because we are not dictating their lifestyle. We are helping to solve their problem. And for that, we need to be able to listen to them, see their concern, what are their needs. And at the end of the day, we need to pick and choose based on their preference and balance that need. So to answer you frankly, I don't have a specific direct answer, but I'm saying ADU is one of the many possible solutions to solve our housing crisis, but it's not the only solution.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Ms. Tran, we appreciate your time.
Thank you, everyone.
At this time, I would like to invite Mr. Jeffrey Jones to the podium. However, he was available at the February date, but since we exceeded the 10, he was not available for this meeting. He is currently out of state with a pre-planned event. He did submit a letter in lieu of his interview for you, if you had a chance to take a look at that, as well as his questionnaire.
I have a question on Jeffrey Jones. He was living in Cross Point?
Correct.
And he moved. Do we know where he moved to?
Interesting. I am unaware of where he currently resides. So that's something usually we'll follow up.
He's on the board of, he's not on the board anymore and moves to.
Interesting question that I'm unable to ask him at this time. He states that he does currently still live in Stanton. If he is appointed, that's something that we would require proof since we no longer verify, but one of the options is to verify his registration status. And knowing that information, we will ask for a copy of his driver's license to show proof of residency as well.
Yeah.
But at this time, to our knowledge, he still currently resides within our city limits.
I got a couple calls on that.
Okay, I will make note. So at this time, I will conclude that portion for Mr. Jeffrey Jones, and I'd like to invite Mr. Mike Pierce to the podium, please. Good evening, Mr. Pierce. Thank you for your attendance this evening.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and Council.
Thank you for moving that microphone closer again. I will start the questioning with Mr. Donald Torres.
Awesome. So what are some opportunities you see our city having in the near future?
I see opportunities for growth. I think we discussed this during our Citizenship Academy, but I know that the city has plans to grow Stanton downtown. So Stanton downtown will be the area between Catella and Cerritos along Beach, and I look forward to seeing that grow.
Right here, you listed water conservation on the second question.
Correct.
Can you please elaborate on that?
I know that there's a lot of area within the city, which is industrial area, and when I drive by, I see tons of grass there, which I know consumes a lot of water. I feel like there's areas there. And I feel like that could be converted to xeriscape and that sort of thing and use much less water.
Thank you very much.
What would you bring to the planning commission?
I have about 25 plus years in manufacturing and also operations, but I just have a lot of practical experience in dealing with all sorts of situations. So I've been on operations manager, so you get all sorts of things thrown at you where it's figure this out and make this happen regardless of what it is. So I've had to deal with that most of my career, and so it bring that kind of experience. Yes, sir.
As Elizabeth Ash mentioned in her talk earlier, one of the biggest challenges most cities in California are facing is parking. And there just isn't any. And I was wondering if you had any thoughts or ideas, and then with the advent of the ADUs coming in, neighborhoods that didn't have a parking problem are now having a parking problem.
Those are two very separate questions, but also present two very major issues.
Yeah.
So I know with the expansion with Rodeo 39, which, by the way, I absolutely love Rodeo 39. My wife and I go there quite often. However, parking there is a major issue. I don't know if a parking structure or looking at parking structures that will hold more cars where it's stacked and underground parking, I would see that as maybe an option, you know, like the previous candidate mentioned. You know, you can go up. We can even go underground and, you know, just like the small parking structure out here, instead of spread out over a lot, I think that would make better sense so that you can accommodate. Now when we go to Rodeo 39, if we go any time after, I would say, our time at Rodeo 39 is between 4 and 5. After that, we're done, because we've gone there at 8:30 or 9 o'clock at night, and it's drive around the parking lot for 20 minutes until you can find somebody pulling out. That's the goal, you know? So I think maybe looking at something to that effect. As far as ADUs, and I may be approaching Mr. Mayor Shaver's question, personally, I'm not a fan. There's multiple ones going up in my neighborhood. If you're building an ADU to house family members or relatives, you know, that sort of thing, that's great. If they're going to be starting to rent them out to multiple people who aren't going to respect our neighborhood is already a trash dump site on a very regular basis. I had somebody dump trash in front of my own house the other night. It pulled up, threw it out on the curb and drove off. They do it across the street from my house. Now that's going to become, I feel like, a regular occurrence. Parking is going to be a huge issue with that as well. So I don't know if what's going to happen. Somebody talked about permitting, you know, for the neighborhood. There's large families in our neighborhood, which that's fine, but there's 6 to 7 cars per household where they are literally parking on the lawn, they're parking on the street, and they're taking it. And then, you know, I would say some of these people have 6 to 7 cars and there's only 3 members of the household. So I don't understand.
I appreciate that you actually attend council meetings. I think that's wonderful, and not many folks here who are not serving in a, you know, as a commissioner or something, do attend council meetings. So thank you for doing that and being engaged and involved. And I love that you did Citizens Academy. I think that gives you a solid foundation on how to be more engaged and serve in our city. I'm going to ask you the same question as the previous candidate. Are you aware of any present or future conflicts of interest should you be selected to serve on
that I'm aware of, no.
And are there, do you see any reason why you might have to recuse yourself or any sort of decision making? Great, thank you so much.
If, you know, you're pretty familiar with our open land that we have in Stanton. We have very little of it, but there are some open spaces. Where do you see going there now?
I gotta be honest, I am not very familiar with as much open land as I should be. Lighten me a little bit, or?
Okay, let's say we do have a parcel in the city, which is very dense. What would you like to see on it and its use?
It depends on the location. If it's located in an industrial area, you know, more industrial buildings, but we have plenty of those that are open and vacant, so I think those could be, you know, I know that we have some open land right here on the corner where there was a Conroy's, and then next to it where the Golden Steer was. It would be nice to see some more restaurants come in, you know, or other businesses. It could provide employment for people regardless of what that business is.
Thank you. Also, Mike, I want to thank you for being the eyes and ears of Stanton. you know, I know
you
that.
You mean the annoyance of Stanton? I feel like.
You've never been an annoyance, trust me. You know, it's good that you care, because if you didn't care, then you wouldn't, you know, you wouldn't try to solve problems. And so I appreciate that very much.
I you know, care in the Citizenship Academy really was a good networking, yeah, well, quite
people,
a few people.
Most people won't go out of their way, even if it only.
Recording in progress.
So I think it's important that we have more folks like you in our community. So thank you for your service.
I appreciate that.
Thank you, Mr. Pierce. At this time, I do apologize if I do butcher your name. Mr. Solfak, is it Oak or OK? Oak. I'd like to invite you to the podium, sir. Thank you for your attendance this evening.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone.
And I would like to start with Councilmember Torres.
Yeah, what opportunities do you see our city having in the next few years?
I see a lot of opportunity along Park. That's one of the major corridors. South. I can see a lot of issues here. potentially attracting a lot of restaurants here out quickly and sales revenue. Take advantage of its geographic feature.
Thank you. And what are some challenges that you see?
Some of the challenges I see are the state's housing mandate to increase. Mayor Starver mentioned the ADUs. I am a proponent of ADUs, subject to its location, ample parking availability. That ADUs do provide a double benefit. Achieving that mandate and providing housing to residents. I believe some of the opportunities rising cost, construction, material, labor. But there are opportunities for us as city and planning commission together to overcome rising costs and achieving deadlines for investment.
Thank you.
I am not on the Planning Commission.
Okay, I must have just misread this. What do you see as some of the opportunities other than Beach Boulevard for the city?
I do know that there are areas where there's homelessness in front of my house. I think if we work with the county and other nonprofit agencies, that's something that's relevant to the city. Get help for those who need help, and also to help the residents.
And where about to the city do you live?
Live in the corner of Chapman and Dale, in the Chapman Village. Right, bordering.
Yeah. Thank you.
We have a Sam's Club that the city there empty. What would you like to see there and why?
We could get a big box retailer. That would be ideal. Typically, they will invest long term. Sam's Club is a big, big retailer. We want to have somebody who has the capacity to market themselves and attract shoppers there. Retail itself is evolving, so their business models and plans differ. So I would first invite them over for an open discussion, networking with developers, leasing agents, fit. If we can't get a big box retailer, break it up, something similar to Road 9, have open space, open office, independent contractors, rent office, rent conference room. Just what may, things that can cater to future things.
One other question. I'm just
going to
run this by we have a huge parking problem. What are your thoughts very quickly about parking in cities? We park them diagonally, we park them vertically, we park them every way we can. But
I agree with that statement. I feel if we implement a plan where we introduce parking structures to developers, projects, help accommodate. I think that would be a viable solution. Setting. I would introduce the planning, or not the planning, traffic department. Get there.
Sarah? same question as the others. Are you aware of any present or future conflicts of interest?
No current conflicts. Potentially there could be, because I do provide. I think that would be a case by case.
I noticed on your application that you're the president of the Westminster Chamber of Commerce. How did that happen, you know, living in Stanton? Is that where you do business, or how are you involved with that?
So I accepted a job position in 2015 in the city of Westminster. I was the branch manager of a private bank. Part of my job responsibilities was to engage, being that it was part of my job. Chamber of Commerce, natural partner. Volunteered my time there, and I was a member, nominated treasurer of the chamber, and eventually became president. I currently own my own business in Westminster, but I do reside in the city of Stanton since 2007.
I don't know if you're aware, but we have a Stanton. And I don't know if your experience as the president of the Westminster Chamber of Commerce could help our small businesses here. What advice would you give to kind of make the Stanton Business Alliance more active or more supportive of our businesses?
My recommendation for any organization would be, first, reach out to your internal partner, see if there's any opportunities where you guys can work together as a common objective or common goal. And from there, coordinate with where you're trying to go, what's your vision, and achieve. Outline the goals and find resources and partners that can help you achieve that. Usually we work with state agencies. For example, we work with Alcoholic Beverage Control. Bill for the alcoholic servers at their ABC handling. So we work with them, we were proactive about it, had them come as a guest.
First of all, thank you for applying. And what qualifications would you or do you have for the Planning Commission? That's number one. And then similarly, what are some of the strengths that you'll be bringing to the Commission?
Well, I have limited experience in planning. I do have some experience working for a real estate developer back in 2006. I did resign from that position in 2007. Financial collapse. But my qualifications, I believe, are that because I've worked in a commercial banking setting, work with various departments such as underwriting, health, home inspectors, escrow agents, title agents, and they all kind of work independently, but we're trying to achieve a common goal. So what we do is, you know, work together. We have deadlines to meet, both escrow and timely manner, and follow the guidelines set by lenders. So being able to work with various departments, achieving the comfortable with one of the strengths, is something that can translate over.
Thank you.
So appreciate your time this evening. At this time, I'd like to invite Mr. Thomas Adams to the podium. Mr. Adams, unfortunately, was exposed and tested positive. However, he is here. Hopefully, he can hear me. We can get him on the line here. He did submit a letter in lieu of interview, and depending on how he felt he was going to try to make it, it looks like he's been here the whole time, but hopefully he can hear us. Mr. Adams? Mr. Adams, I'm going to have to ask you to at least shut down either your video portion or your phone portion.
it looks like there's a feedback when you have two devices logged in at the same time in close proximity to each other. Mr. Adams, if you want to try that again for me. If you want to participate via phone, you can do that, or you can shut down your video and, or your phone and participate via video. Go ahead and try one more time. You're unmuted.
Depending on counsel, we can proceed to read his letter in lieu of interview since we are having troubles, or we can try to see how. I don't think that this is going to be a successful attempt.
Looks like he logged out of one of his, should we try again?
Mr. Adams, go ahead and unmute and try once more, please.
Go ahead, sir. Mr. Adams?
Did make an attempt to come in. Unfortunately, he wanted to be safe. So at this time, we do have his letter. He is currently seeking reappointment. So if he had time to read that letter and his questionnaire, we could proceed with you. They're waiving his interview portion of the process. Would you like to proceed with that? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Mr. Shaver? Would you like to waive the portion?
I'm
hearing
fine.
None? Mr. Mayor, members of the council, that concludes the interview portion for the appointment process. Currently, we do have three vacancies to fill on the Planning Commission. At this time, I will start with seat number one, which belongs to Council Member Taylor. Mr. Taylor, motion on who you'd like to appoint to fill your seat.
I'm very pleased to appoint Elizabeth Ash.
I'm very pleased to second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, congratulations, Ms. Ash, on your reappointment to the Planning Commission for seat number one with Council Member Taylor. Seat number two, Mayor Shaver.
Yes, I'm going to reappoint Thomas Adams.
Do you have a second? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none. Congratulations, Mr. Adams. If you can hear me, you've been reappointed to seat number two for Mayor Shaver. We'll now proceed to seat number three, Council Member Torres.
My pick would be Mr. Tran.
Do we have a second?
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Mr. Shaver?
No.
Hearing
fine.
None. Congratulations, Mr. Tran. You're here, field seat number three for Council Member Torres. Congratulations to our appointees. And again, same expressions for thank you for your time here. We appreciate you. As Ms. Van had said, please do not give up, but participate, reapply, and hopefully we'll see you again soon.
Again, on behalf of myself and our council, we would like to thank all you candidates that took the time to come down. Again, it means that you care about the city. Many of you have been to our training and our classes. Please keep volunteering. That's going to be very important to us. We may be having some openings in the near future, so stay tuned. And you will also notice that what you said tonight does resound with us. And we understand some of the things that you need us to do. So again, thank all of the candidates for applying, I encourage you to reapply. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, Council, I will now begin with the interview portion process for the Public Safety Committee. At this time, I'd like to invite Mr. Daniel Park to the podium, please.
Good evening, Mayor Shaver and council members and the staff for having me.
Thank you. Councilmember Torres, questions for Mr. Park?
Awesome, yeah. Can you please introduce yourself to the rest of the council?
Sure, yes. My name is Daniel Park. I am a pastor, church here at Stanton. Been here for quite some time. Recently, we just had a change our name, kind of did a replant of our church. Now it's called Stanton City Presbyterian, potentially trying to be more involved with the city of Stanton, our desire. And part of my passion is to be not just in a church serve, but also to be able to be involved with the community, city. And so we've been trying to be involved with different organizations. We have a long history here in Stanton because we also, some of you might remember, we were previously another location, Cerritos and Western, but unfortunately we had to leave that area because the Stanton Central Park was built in that place. It's unfortunate for you, it's wonderful for you all, because the park is just so wonderful for the community there. My passion is really for reaching out to the community and the city of Stanton. And so this last year, I decided we tried to work it out sooner, but fortunately we weren't able to, but we finally moved to Stanton ourselves. So we don't want to just be a church that's just serving here and going back to our neighborhoods, but we want to actually be in the city of Stanton. So that's who I am. That's why I'm passionate to be in this position to be able to apply for this public safety.
Awesome. Is there any issues that you see with our public safety?
I'm going to say that this is my first time applying. I'm still getting to know Stanton, so I don't necessarily see issue per se. I do know that Stanton has some stigma about itself, that the past previously with prostitution and with massage parlors and the things like that. I know that that is a public safety concern. I have talked to residents in the past, in my neighborhood. Homelessness is obviously a big one. Even when I come to city council meetings, that always tends to be a conversation to have. So I know that's also a safety concern.
So as you stated here on question two, you said that a lot of conversations come up with local residents, and I imagine members of your church. What are some things that you hear from them?
About homelessness? I mean, that's the one I wrote about, which was homelessness. That is a concern that I'm sure many people have. It's always a tough subject. It's not just a material. We're dealing with human beings, and so it's always a sticky situation. I do know a lot of residents that are concerned with safety. I do know that homelessness is such a complicated issue because we're dealing with humans, and so sometimes people might be homeless because of drug use, and they can't sustain their job or their life, and so they're homeless. Others, maybe mental illness. Times it could be because they were evicted, and the housing market is really hard and difficult for so many people, and I think those are very complicated issues. So I think for myself, I would say that I think because we're dealing with human beings, I would be someone who would want to work in the committee to see how we can get other people involved, the sheriff department and city council members and different organizations like churches and residents, and partnering together and collaborating together to see what are creative ways we can go about to work through the situation. Because I think the other hard thing is just pushing someone away to another city doesn't necessarily solve the issue. We're just pushing that problem to another city. I'm sure that sometimes maybe others push homelessness into our community. And so it's so complicated there. And so that's sort of how I envision sort of my that was to be a city council member, public safety committee member. I think that would be my kind of initial conversation is, can we have dialogue with city council members? Can we have dialogue with the sheriff department? Can we have dialogue with businesses, residents in this area? Because we are dealing with human beings.
How long have you lived in the city?
So it's been about to be a year now. Very fresh, Santa.
And where at?
I'm in District 2.
Thank you.
Very close to Hollenbeck.
Thank you.
Have you seen, since you've been in the city a year now, have you seen issues in your neighborhood or I guess anywhere else that would be public safety type of issues that we would need to address?
I mean, One of the things that I would say that I have seen is in certain areas where I feel like lighting is dimmer or non-existent altogether. I have heard studies that lighting definitely does help, especially at nighttime. Holland Park, for example, is one area I don't necessarily see a lot of lighting at. I have members of our church who say they're really scared to walk during that park at nighttime. So that, I think, would be an area that I think can be something that of the public safety concern. Another thing I always hear residents, and even when I come to City Council, is the constant remarks of fireworks. That's always a big one, right? And so we see that on a regular basis. That's another concern that I've heard from time to time. We're located in Dale and Cotel.
What other things are you seeing in Stan as far as lighting is a big one? There's so many studies saying the better the lighting, the safer you are. What other things do you see in Stan that we could work on from a safety perspective?
I think I'm still so fresh, Stan. So I think my hope would be the first year would be more just observation, trying to be more intentional, being able to be in a position where I can actually get more involved with the city would be conducive for me to kind of understand how does Stanton work. And so my first year I would want to plan on is to observe. So I'm not too sure any other real situation that I think is a public safety concern right now, other than just people telling me their fear of homelessness, the fear of maybe drug use, the fear of gangs maybe and violences. Those are things I hear, but I haven't necessarily seen in myself some of these issues. But so I haven't observed any real public safety concerns as of yet, but hopefully if I was to be picked that I would be able to walk around, be more intentional of seeing what's going on in the neighborhood.
Surprised to see you so modest saying, oh, I'm so fresh when you've been serving as a pastor in our community for so many years. So I don't want you to sell yourself short. I know that, you know, I've seen you at council meetings. I know you're involved in many aspects of our city. You volunteer regularly at city events. So I do want to make sure we acknowledge that. So thank you for that, Pastor Mark, for continuing to engage your church members with our city. So I think that for public safety in our city, one thing that I've seen us struggle with is getting certain communities to speak up when they see something. Fear of retribution, or fear that, you know, maybe if they say something about somebody, they'll get retaliated. Do you have any suggestions on how we can get members who are the eyes and ears of our community to speak up and voice their concerns when there's a public safety issue?
Yeah. A lot of people are reticent of this. I wonder if a lot of it would be, I mean, just my initial thought right now, more engagement with the community, building of trust. I'm looking at this from a outside perspective, so I don't know many of the staff, the Stanton, the council members, if they're all involved, if the sheriff department's involved, of just getting to know the faces of the city of Stanton. You know, there's a little bit over 37,000 residents in Stanton. That's small, but that's still a lot of people. And I think there are many residents here that I have met for the first time, and I've been serving in different capacities here at Stanton. Never seen them. So I think part of it is just gonna be constantly be familiar with the residents, the faces, constantly involved with being walking around the neighborhoods to see faces. Gain that trust by just being present. That would be maybe a solution I can think of right now in terms of just having more residents be able to trust, whether it be the police department or city council members.
Thank you so much.
How you doing, Mr. Park? It's been a while. I'm glad you're back. You. Anyway, Could you tell us some of the strengths that you'll be bringing to the commission? You know, some of the, I know you've had a lot of the experience working in the community, but then how would you take that information and bring it into a working situation?
Some of the strengths that I would bring in, able to talk with the residents, being able to go around and try to be a person who can collaborate people together, to unify people together. That would be a strength that I would hope to bring. And I think part of it is just being a, been ministering for over 10 years, over 13, 14 years, church and working in different neighborhoods here. Just being able to have that passion to care for the city of Stanton. Those are things I feel like, and just maybe even being being fresh. I think maybe that energy and that excitement maybe would be able to bring some strength to Public Safety Committee.
Thank you.
If there are no other questions at this time from the council. Thank you, Mr. Park.
Thank you.
Next, at this time, I'd like to invite Mr. Jeffrey Jones to the podium. Oh, I apologize. Okay, at this time, I'd like to invite Mr. Kenneth Bloom to the podium.
My name is Kenneth Bloom. I've been a resident of Stanton for 29 years, and I've also been on the Citizen Academy two different times. Gary, I'm in your district. I live in the Bradford home.
Okay. Mr. Bloom, you're welcome to move that microphone closer up to you. It's maneuverable, so you don't have to bend. Perfect. Whatever's comfortable for you. Yes. Mr. Torres?
Awesome. I definitely remember you from our public safety, Citizens Academy.
Yeah.
That was actually really cool. Good food too, right?
I learned a lot in both of them.
Right?
Especially the second one, because the second one was actually here. The first one was online.
Oh, wow. Yeah, and even Alice came to speak to everybody, right? Yeah, that was one too. So what are some issues you see in our city?
One issue I think is the homeless, and also in my area is the traffic speed going up and down Capella. One thing I really would like to see is a signal at Capella and Bradford, slow down the traffic, the number of accidents. And also, being from retail, I go into Sport and Final Lot where my son works, and I also live on vehicle, and hear people talking about the ceiling, the freeze, and it's out of control. So they're losing a lot of money.
What skills would you bring to the Public Safety Committee?
You know what? Main thing is, it's going to be a learning experience for me, and I'm willing to learn and listen to people. And I think just being an average citizen in the community, I'm retired. So I ride my bike around a lot at the Bradford home, talk to people. And I'm willing to learn and listen. And I think I bring street knowledge, what people want. And I'm a very strong supporter of the police department, the fire department. I believe that whatever they need to have.
Thank you for being an active participant in our city.
And another thing too is, I just like to make sure that we have enough police and fire department, all the new residential condos, housing, make sure that police are being overworked and they have enough. Know what? No, we're very lucky. I think I don't see very much crime at all. The only thing we've had lately was a couple major fires in there. That's about it. I mean, I think everybody watches out for themselves pretty good, and everybody watches. I didn't see any part at all. Just like the speeding, traffic control, and out.
In the past, we've heard of the entrance over for the Sunshine Village off of Western, I think it is.
Yeah.
That there's been homeless people coming in there and stealing things.
Yeah, that's the only problem I've saw was the drainage over there in Western. It's been a real problem in there. And I didn't know until James had told me at the academy that that's done by the county. And they were having some problem in there digging in the trash cans and all that. That's all they were doing. As far as crime, I didn't hear about any crime.
Okay. That's good. Yeah. Glad to hear that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
I have to make a comment before I ask you a question. I just love that Smart Vital that's over on Catella and Dot. They have the Stanton Street.
They do.
At their checkout stands. They're so loyal to Stanton. Yeah. I love that part.
That's where my son works.
Have him tell the manager that we're 100%.
They're in the morning from 6 to 3.
Wow. So, public safety, Home Depot's getting hit really bad too.
Yeah.
Hopefully the gentleman that raised the theft from 400 for shoplifting to 900, and now we're gonna put it back down to 400, because guess what, it worked. So, I'm hoping that helps out those poor stores.
You know, and maybe we can get some, like, a policeman. Maybe once in a while, just to walk. I don't know about the budget or what, but maybe get a policeman just to stop there once in a while, or a Smart and Final, and just walk around, make themselves known. There.
My question I was going to pose to you is that police and fire, we love them, but they're very expensive. Our budget for police is over $13 million a year. And so we also have to think out of the box. And so, do you have any just off-the-cuff remarks, things you could think of that would help the safety of the city so that we don't add to our astronomical bills?
The only thing I can think of, maybe in more of the community involved, like the, I know we have the Coffee and Cop series. I know the last one got canceled. In the community, more involved. I'm retired. I'm more than willing to get involved in our city, walking around, can't do with the police, fire department. Maybe have the fire department, you know, once a week, or maybe go into a business with a policeman and let them know, the criminals know that, hey, our police department and fire departments are being watched. Maybe once a week or twice. Yeah, I know, if the budget allows it. I love the city, and I love our police and fire department. I want to do everything we can to have.
And those coffee with the cop events are really good.
Yeah, and maybe do it all like on a Saturday morning, except during the week, where we could get more people, or even in the one of the parks or something. Maybe have Starbucks cater some coffee and donuts and pastries, and have a police car out there and a fire truck and. That way.
Good ideas. Thank you.
So you state that you've lived in the city for 29 years, so I think you have a pretty good historical perspective of how our city has transformed itself over the decades. Can you comment on what you've seen in terms of the difference in public safety and what has been done for the past 30 years?
Well, I lived here when Stanton Police Department was on their own. And they had a lot of problems. I guess just they didn't have enough. But I think being run by the county was a very good thing, because we can draw more resources from the county than having our own private police department. But I think our police do a great job. And I think we need some more police on the street. I know budget only allows so much. I think our police do a great job. I really do believe what I've come across.
I can hear that you're very supportive and passionate about public safety, and you're really a big proponent of our police and fire services. However, as Councilmember Warren has stated, they are extremely expensive. They take up, you know, a big chunk of our budget. Is there any other way we can increase public safety without needing to add our boots on the ground like police and fire, so that we can stay within budget and still, you know?
Only thing I can think of, maybe with like police, maybe like have a citizens patrol or a volunteer citizen patrol, you know, around the police car, or not a police car, but a city vehicle with stuff on the side, you know, saying Stanton volunteer police. And you know, just make yourself visible in the street. Don't go down the city street. Don't stay on just the main street. Go into the city streets and patrol around. And then, I mean, I'd be open to something like that. And just make yourself visible to these criminals. They're going to avoid those areas. They know they're going to get caught.
Thank you so much.
Could you give us your one strength that you'll be bringing to the Public Safety Commission?
I ran a grocery. I'm retired from Albertsons, store manager. I work with a lot of people. My work ethic, I mean, 45 years. Very, very good. Communicate with people. I think just being on a street level person, I think I could bring that kind of attitude, you know, what the average person wants done in our city. I know I can't make the decision. All I can do is just forward it on to you, to the council and you, mayor. I think that's what my strengths are.
Thank you, Mr. Bloom.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for your time, sir.
Thank you.
Mayor, Council, at this time I'd like to invite Mr. Jeffrey Jones, who is currently not in attendance, however did submit again a letter in lieu of interview. Since he is applying for reappointment for this position, I'd like to request to waive the interview process for Mr. Jones. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none. That concludes this portion of the interview process for the Public Safety Committee. We do have three vacancies to fill. I will now begin with seat number one, which belongs to Council Member Taylor. Your motion for appointment, sir?
Mr. Daniel Park.
You have a second?
Second.
Excuse me. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, congratulations, Mr. Park, for filling seat number one under Council Member Taylor. Number two, Mayor Shaver, your motion for appointment?
Yes, Mr. Bloom.
Second?
Second.
Mr. Kaur is on the second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, congratulations, Mr. Bloom, for your appointment to fill seat number two under Mayor Shaver. And seat number three, Mr. Torres, your motion for appointment?
I guess the only one that's left is Jeffrey Jones.
Yes, sir.
May
the second?
Do we have an option to not appoint him if we wanted to? Or does he have to appoint the last one?
I'd like
one?
To do a point of order. I think because there's been information brought to the council that there may be a residency issue, I think it's our responsibility before we appoint someone, since we don't know that, to take a look at that residency issue before we make that decision. You know, we can always do that pending. That's maybe a way we could do it. But I think that that's up to the council majority. I personally am uncomfortable appointing somebody that has a residency concern if it's been brought to the attention of the city council. That's all.
Understood, Mr. Mayor. But at this time, Mr. Torres, I see that you have a motion, but you were under the pretense that there was only one left.
Right.
So we'll go ahead and rescind that motion, and we'll proceed with verifying residency.
I would recommend if the council would like to consider making an appointment pending. Otherwise, we will have to bring this item back. If you make that motion tonight, then we verify his residency, and we will confirm the process that the district DA uses when they get residency complaints, which I believe are utility and identification. Then that appointment would hold. If they don't meet the requirements as stated to participate as part of the Public Safety Committee, that would be nullified.
Has there been a second to his motion?
Yeah. And even with appointment, he has
think that it would be nice to have people present when they receive their appointments.
That would be dependent upon the council. The Public Safety Committee would have a quorum without this position being filled, so we could leave it vacant at this time, or the council could direct us to reopen the recruitment, and we would go through the same process, reopen it for the same number of weeks we did initially, advertise it just the same we did. Depending on the number of applicants, we would either bring it back to the council at a future council meeting, or if the number of applications received exceeded 10, we would schedule another separate meeting, so that is also at the council's pleasure.
So I guess I would make a motion to extend the application process and come back to it when people apply.
Yeah, I just wanted to mention that for the folks who didn't get chosen tonight, please apply for public safety if that's anything you're at all interested in.
Are we allowed to apply over here?
No. Well, when it opens again, please apply, because I want to encourage you guys to know that there will be an opening and you can apply and then get another chance to serve.
If council's so council, see if they move forward with reopening, you'll be getting the same type of notice from me, a copy of the application and a memo citing the due dates and that kind of information for that process. So we have a motion by Council Member Torres and a second by Council Member Van to proceed with reopening and verifying upon submission of Mr. Jones' application. Is that correct?
So Councilmember Torres, if I'm hearing correctly, so if we do find out that Mr. Jeffrey Jones does live in Stanton, would you still want to appoint him, or you don't want him as an option?
Well, I would like for him to speak.
Okay, so have him come and decision. Interview. Got it. Mm-hmm.
So, Ms. So we're going with Councilmember Torres' motion to reopen the recruitment process for seat number 3 to fill that vacancy, which we will follow the same procedures, opening notice, and as Ms. Hadorn had stated, if the applications received are more than 10, we'll hold a special meeting. If not, we will proceed to bring that forth during a regularly scheduled city council meeting. Is that correct? Okay. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Mr. Sharper, are you okay with that, sir? Sorry.
Yeah, I am.
So again, that motion passes. So to those in attendance that did not get appointed this evening, you'll have another opportunity to be interviewed for this position. Give us a couple days, and you should see a notice within your email, so keep an eye out for that. Council, that concludes the appointment process. Mr. Mayor, I'll leave that here for you.
Any other questions? If I recall, we probably should have opportunity for anybody from the public that would like to speak tonight, and I don't think we've done that, so why not do that?
You're welcome to do that. With the special meeting, there's a different format, but
yeah, I think it's good. Is there anyone attending the meeting tonight that would like to address the city council at this time? Okay. Thank you all for being here, and have a good evening.